Hello there, faithful Fat Guy Forum listeners. Before we get into this week's episode, I just want to remind you that there are several ways you can support this show. First of all, just the fact that you're downloading the show, listening, that helps a lot. But if you could rate and review the show on whatever podcast service you're using, I would greatly appreciate that because that gets the show in front of more people. You can also share it with people you think might benefit from the show. If you are interested in investing more in supporting the show, there's a few ways to do that. First of all, in the show notes of every episode, there are links to companies and products that I am an affiliate for that I use on a daily basis as a part of my own personal healthy journey that I feel I love sharing with all of you. And if you use those links and codes, you save a little bit and you also generate some revenue for the show. Another way is, of course, the Patreon. And the Patreon for the Fat Guy Forum is not only a way for you to show some financial support for the show, but you also get access to bonus material. And right now that includes 58 bonus episodes where I continue my conversations with the guests in the after show. And you also get a say in how the show evolves and grows. I'm thinking of changing the Fat Guy 5 soon, and I would love to get the input of all my Patreons on that. So if you are interested in that, sign up for one of the tiers of the Patreon that involves a payment. Yes, you can sign up for free. I don't know why Patreon allows that, but you can do that, but you don't get access to any of the fun stuff. So sign yourself up. Link is in the show notes. And now let's get on to this week's new guest. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of the Fat Guy Forum. Excited to be back with you again with a new guest this week. And I appreciate everyone's handling the scheduling issues that caused last week to be a flashback episode, but we're back now with new episodes and got a ton of guys lined up, so I'm excited for that. With me today, I have Cole Prochaska, and Cole and I just connected, and I'm excited for us to get to talk. So, Cole, how are you doing today, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about yourself? Everybody listening, hopefully everybody's doing great when they hear this.
Definitely. It's Sunday early afternoon for me, Sunday later afternoon for you, so we're getting ready to head into a new week, so I'm excited for people to hear, man. So let's get into it. Tell us, man, what qualifies you to be on the Fat Guy Forum?
Okay, so let's see. I guess it started when I was really young, and I'd probably say about 6 years old and on, I started slowly just putting on weight, and I noticed that I was the bigger kid because, you know, you just kind of notice that you're a fat kid in class or whatever. And I used to eat so much. I would even eat so much where I would puke. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I had some, I'm sure I had some kind of childhood trauma, but it's not bad because my family's great and I had a great childhood. But there's something in my past, I'm assuming, that triggered all of this.
Yeah.
But I have no clue exactly what it is. But yeah, I just slowly started putting on weight and just kept getting bigger and bigger. And I was a decently active child, but I guess I just ate so many calories. I mean, snacks and drinking, and I always loved drinking like sweet tea and Kool-Aids and sodas, and so just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And just like yourself, which I read, I think you've lost weight twice. Mm-hmm. So I did the same thing. Like when I turned 27, basically I decided I was gonna lose some weight and I started walking. And then that's about all I did healthy. Everything else, I was not eating much. I did walk, but I was like doing a lot of drinking and other extracurricular stuff. So that's how I lost weight the first time. And I lost probably about 280 pounds. And I got down about 237 was my lowest, but I didn't look very good. I was really thin. I didn't have any muscle or anything like that. But I mean, I still look good, but not like, you know what I mean? You kind of look thin, like, oh, something's not wrong with that. It looks a little sickly.
And was that like was that your first big diet attempt? Had you tried diets, you know, growing up, you know, 27? So like before that, like even when you were younger, like were you trying to lose weight or was it just more something you were conscious of?
Well, I've tried many a times and it's, my family has tried to help me. I know we went to a hypnotherapist one time. We did one of those. We've done all kinds of, you know, Weight Watchers, and my grandma would get me a gym membership, or she'd buy me a treadmill, all these things to help me lose weight. And I would do it for a week or two and then, you know, get sucked back right into that old lifestyle. It didn't take long. So I never was really dedicated to any of it until that time when I did that.
And what was going on that made you, you know, dedicated at that point? Like, what brought that instance about?
Basically, I was just, I looked at myself in the mirror and was like, what are you doing with your life? Because, I mean, at that point, I was a 27-year-old virgin, like, had never been on a date, never had a girlfriend, never went to, like, the school dances or the prom or anything like that. And I was like, what are you doing with yourself, you know? Yeah, you're the fun fat guy at all the parties or at your, you know, when you hang out with your friends. But it's like, you know, is there more out there for you? So, yeah, that's what I started doing.
Which I think, you know, that's something that I don't think, you know, I talked to a lot of different guys on the show, you know, well over 200 at this point. And we kind of get into that a little bit, but it's something that, you know, we're not often talking about. You're seeing people talk about in the social space, like being significantly overweight as you grow up impacts your development in a lot of areas that we don't normally think about. Like, we think about, you know, could I still do sports? Was I physically active? But even socially, you know, it has an impact on us.
Oh, yeah, for sure. 100%. Like, especially when it comes to, you know, dealing with the opposite sex and stuff, it's like, yeah, it's pretty bad. Always being a third wheel and all that kind of stuff. And you really don't even know how to talk to people, talk to girls without just trying to be really funny. So, yeah, that's, you know, that's where I got to there. And then I lost all that weight. And then I actually met a girl and we got in a relationship. And then I slowly started putting that weight back on. You call it happy weight because we were in a relationship. We wanted to sit around and eat ice cream, pizzas, and everything like that. And I just slowly started put all that weight back on and more. Yeah, because then I quit smoking cigarettes in 2018, and that added another at least 60 or 70 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Me just eating all the time.
And do you think, like, you know, like, your relationship with food that, you know, obviously, like, because, like, giving up smoking can have an impact, you know, it has a physical impact on appetite for people, for sure, like, but also, like, you know, the oral part of smoking, you know, can usually get, you know, supplemented with food. Like, do you feel like, you know, was your relationship with food, like, physical and emotional? Like, were you, do you identify, like, that you were using food for anything? Like, where, you know, looking at, like, the weight coming back on, like, what do you think kind of even brought you to that place in the first place? Does that question make sense? Like, I know you talked a little bit about, like, you're always eating more. Like, was it habits or was it, you know, responsive eating, if that makes sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely habits of, I don't know, I always see food, and even today, which is something I battle, I see food as happiness to me. I don't know. It's just like whenever I eat, I'm always in a good mood. I'm sure, like, I have some kind of, if you put something to my brain, I'd kind of be like I was on some kind of drug, maybe. It's just like food really makes me happy. So, but that's just always been a thing with me. I just love eating, and I love, I don't know. Now I just control it, and I eat a certain amount of times, but I still love to eat, man. I still do. I can't help it. But,
well, I think it gets ingrained in us when we're younger. Like, you know, sometimes I'll talk, you know, especially if I'm talking with clients about, like, where they're like, where does this come from? And I'm like, well, if this started for you when you were younger and you know, that association between food and happiness and just really, you know, I think there's sometimes there's almost like some hypersensitivity to the satiation, like all of those pieces, it becomes like well-worn grooves in your brain and in your body. Like, it's not just, oh, you know, I didn't know that food could affect my weight. It was more like, no, this is, you know, food is something that brings me something that I'm not sure it does that same thing for other people.
Yeah. And I believe I have an addictive personality. Well, I'm pretty sure I do. So things I really like, I just like, I want it all the time. And that would be from, like, me with talking about cigarettes. When I smoked, I didn't just smoke a lot. I mean, I smoked 2.5, maybe 3 packs a day. And eating, like I said, I just love to eat. But when I used to drink a lot and stuff, I like drink a lot. It's not just, oh, have a couple of drinks. It's no, drink a whole bottle of liquor or something like that. So I definitely have some addictive personality. So whatever I do like, whatever my vices are, I just super indulge into them. And now the gym is that.
Yeah, well, understood. And we can definitely get into that, man. But So you lost that, you know, 237, 240 pounds and put that weight back on. You know, you had the happy weight, but also just the, you know, quitting smoking and just that perfect storm of let's put the weight back on. Did that lead you to your highest weight ever?
Oh yeah. That's where I got my worst. That's where I got my lowest. Like, that's where I hit rock bottom. And that was when I was 37 at that point now. Mm. So, and it was in 2021, and I knew that the relationship I was in, which had lasted 7 years, I knew it was coming to an end. Like, mm. I knew she had lost respect for me and everything like that. And, you know, I don't blame her for that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what got me to that point where I hit that rock bottom point. And I was like, all right, let's do this. You've lost this weight before. I know you're older now. You weigh more, you don't feel good,
mm-hmm.
but you can do this. Let's see if you can do this and save this relationship. Well, you know, I didn't save the relationship, but I saved myself.
Yeah.
And that's what's the most important thing.
And what was your heaviest weight?
Okay, so I'll never really know my heaviest weight because, yeah, I know it was 600 pounds or more because I had a scale that went to 568 or whatever, 569, and it wouldn't weigh me for like a month after I started my weight loss journey. And one time I stood on two scales a couple of years before that when I wasn't quite as big, and it was 585 when I put both the scales together. And I don't know how close that is, but so I really don't know. I never got to weigh myself when I was my biggest, but I have wearing 8XL shirts. My stomach would hang out of that.
Well, that's the thing is when you're that large, like when I was over 500 pounds, there wasn't even the scales that are available now that people, you know, I think the highest scale that I could find at that time, I went to maybe like 375, like access to that has changed. But when you're bigger, like readily access to scales that way, even doctors, like there are times, you know, if you're over 500 pounds and you go to the doctors, a lot of doctor's offices don't have a bariatric scale that can handle more than, you know, 450, 400 pounds.
Yeah.
So it can be tough knowing that number. But like you said, you physically know, like, you know, even when you first were able to register on that scale, you knew you had come down some then, like, so you hit this point, you know, you described it as your rock bottom. Like, what do you feel was different for you, you know, when you were getting started? You know, you had the motivation of, you know, the thought of, will this help my relationship? Like, was there anything else different, you know, from the mental side, you know, approaching it this time?
I'd approach it as in, I'm going to be healthy, and this is going to be a complete lifestyle change. It's not going to be just a diet or something I'm going to do for a couple weeks or a month or something like that. It's like, I'm going to completely turn it around. Like, I'm going to completely change it. And that's what I set out to do. And I honestly didn't know if I would get to where I am now, but I had that desire. So I started, and then once I started going, like a couple weeks in or so, I think I started really getting that in my head. Like, oh, you're going to do this. Like, you're going to really do this, and you're going to prove some people wrong, and you're going to prove yourself wrong.
Yeah. Well, what did getting started look like for you? What were you doing?
When I first started, all I started doing was walking a little bit further every day, and it would just be me walking a couple blocks, and then maybe getting outside and cleaning up a little bit in our yard that we had. And I cleaned it all up and went and got some plants and just did some yard work and stuff and just started being more active. And next thing you know, I just started walking a little bit more and farther every day, getting a little more active, and I was eating a lot better. Now, all I did was eating like salads kind of things, but I quit drinking sodas because, you know, nothing with calories. If it had calories, I didn't drink it, so I just drank water. And then I started eating pretty good, a lot of salads, and I definitely was in a calorie deficit, but I really wasn't counting calories at that point. I was just like, if you cut out the sodas, you're going to lose weight.
Right.
And you walk, you're going to lose weight. So that's what I started with. And then I was like, you know what? Maybe I should try to join a gym and, you know, see what happens. I've had a gym membership. My grandma got me. I went a couple of times, but never really did anything much in there. So I was like, let's try it. Let's see what happens. And that's why I went to join the gym.
And what was it like, you know, I want to ask that question. I also want to, you know, I do want to point out, like, talking about the fact that, you know, when you're that significantly overweight, those small changes add up, you know, those things.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes too, like, I think it's really important you talk, you know, you're talking about what you were doing to get started when you were being physically active. Like, I think sometimes people, regardless of where they're starting at, they think that, okay, I've never worked out before. I'm not being physically active right now. So I'm going to go to the gym 5 times this week, or I'm going to walk, you know, I'm going to walk 5 miles today. Like, realizing that meeting yourself where you're at when you get started can be the best thing, because you're able to build on that and you're able to do what you can actually manage and not burn out on doing it. So I think that's a smart approach that sometimes people overlook. Like, they think it's got to look a certain way. Like, I mean, how many people do, and I'm sure you do too, like, we talk to who are getting like 500 steps a day and immediately set a goal of like, I'm going to get 10,000 steps today. And it's like,
yeah,
you don't know what 10,000 steps is going to be like for your body. Like, let's start, a reach goal could be 5. Like, let's see what happens. Like, it's important, exactly. You know, it's important to have that starting point. And yes, when you're 600 pounds, over 500 pounds, achieving a calorie deficit isn't that hard if you cut out those things. Like you said, you were a sweet drinker. Like, you cut out those things. And that's why I always bring up, like, that meme, you know, and it's often an unfair, you know, it's a meme that's pointed out the unfairness of, like, men losing weight versus women losing weight. But stopping drinking soda can have a significant impact on, you know, our overall, our weight, our caloric intake. You know, that's something that sometimes people don't realize how much they're actually taking in. So it makes sense that you started there. And then to, you know, get into the gym. Like, what was it like for you when you first got into the gym? Were you working with a trainer? Did you go in on your own? Like, take us into that.
All right. So I went in on my own. And I just went in. And the night before, I prayed. And I said, you know, God, hopefully someone will come up to me and talk to me at the gym. I was like, hopefully someone will. So I went into the gym and, you know, signed up. And I went over to the little bench press machine they had, and I did a couple presses on there, which I felt really weak because it wasn't very much at all. I was like, dang, I thought I was stronger than that. But I did it a couple times, and then I went and did a couple curls, and I was like, I feel so out of place. I feel like people are looking at me. I'm going to get on the treadmill real quick, and that's going to be it. So I went up there and got on the treadmill and started walking on it, and then this guy came up there to me, and he said, one of the greatest things I've ever heard someone tell me. And he said, today will be your hardest day you ever have at the gym. And he was completely 100% right. But how that dude knew that was my only day at the gym, I don't know. But he came in, he said that to me. And he also said, hey, you know, I used to be a power lifter and all this kind of stuff. And he was like, if you want me to come in and meet me tomorrow, I can help you out a little bit. And I said, oh, heck yeah, I'd love to meet you tomorrow, you know. And then he went, and of course we went home, and I came the next morning, and he met him there. And we walked around the building, and he's just talked to me about things, where I'm at in my life, and told me I didn't need to lift weights or anything like that right now. He's like, you got enough weight on your body as it is.
Mm-hmm.
He said, all you got to do is get your heart pumping. You know, your body weighs a lot doing squats, just regular squats like that and stuff. You'll start burning calories, walking up steps, doing step-ups. So he came up with this little plan for me of just doing step-ups, like I said, and using the medicine ball and stuff like that. And I never seen the guy again after that. I never saw him again. His name is Chad, which is great. He's like the gym angel.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's what started me. And I just used that little plan of his. I just push a sled and pull a sled. And I would do like a little medicine ball, squat down, pick it up, throw it over your shoulder type of thing, and then do step ups. And that's all I would do. And I would just keep walking more and more as far as I could. The better my heart got, the less weight I had, I could walk more and I felt better. And then me and my ex finally like broke up, and I ended up moving back home because we were living in Florida this time. And when I moved back home, I, didn't start the gym for probably 3 or 4 months. But I kept my walking going, but I started drinking, of course, because I was upset. And I had to realize, I had to tell myself, hey, fall back into that. You can't let, you know, you can't let this take you out, derail you, because you know how what alcohol does to you. It's awful for your heart. You know, it kills your gains and stuff. So I nipped that in the bud, I guess you would say. And eventually, I was like, all right, I'm just going to the gym and actually start lifting weights now. Because I've lost, at this point, I probably lost already 115 pounds in a couple of months. Well, about six, 7 months. Because I was, like, dedicated. I was just, like, shedding weight. And then I was like, all right, let's go lift weights and actually see if we can put on muscle. And then I joined Planet Fitness, and the rest is history now, because now I'm just, like, addicted to it.
No, that makes sense, man. And not to just jump back to that very beginning, but, you know, at the size you were at, like, what I'd love for you to, if you can talk a little bit about, like, what did it actually feel like to start doing that activity? Like, you know, later that night, the next day, like, were you feeling it? Like, because I think sometimes that's also something that we don't talk about when we talk about getting into the gym.
Yeah. Well, you would definitely feel it, and you would feel fatigued. But I also felt like I had more energy just because I was eating better, and I wasn't taking all that sugar in, and I wasn't as inflamed and all that, because I wasn't trying to eat fried stuff or nothing like that. So I feel like I'd, as hurt as physically exhausted as my arms would be sometimes, or my legs would be, and my feet would hurt a little bit, I had so much energy in my mind, and like, I don't know, I just felt so good and energetic and alive. So I was like, whoa, you know, you can actually do this, turn it around.
Yeah. And it's that idea that there's a difference between, you know, and especially, you know, I'm sure you relate to this, like when you're that heavy, you could be sore a lot just from living life, but that there's a difference between life soreness and that intentional soreness that comes after a good, you know, after working out. Like, you understand there's a reason, you know, you're recovering. Like, it's not just, it's showing, you know, it's so cliche, but it's like, you're understanding that you're alive because your body is actually responding to what you're doing. Like, and like you said, you know, compound that with eating better and, you know, feeling that energy and, you know, there's, and those are, I just think, you know, and sometimes I don't mean to keep slowing you down, but like, I think it's important for people to hear, because it really is about paying attention when those things are happening, like being conscious of it, so that, you know, that those are things that continue to drive you. And it's not just going through the motions and these are the things I have to do, but these are the things I'm doing. And this is how it's, you know, it's actually making me feel, you know, I'm feeling better. Like, I'm being conscious of how I'm feeling. And like, I think that's a fantastic thing to hear.
Oh yeah. And I just like the first times when you really start walking and say, like, there's a hill out here where I live, that when I first moved back and I'd walk up it, I remember how bad and how hard my heart would be pumping when I get to the top of it. But I'd have to stop sometimes and be like, oh, like, catch your breath. And now that's just like my beginning walk. Oh, that's 700 steps into my 10,000 steps I'm going to get, you know. It's like nothing. But back then, and that just that reward of climbing that hill and how I felt like my heart was about to jump out my chest. And it's like almost impossible to get that heart rate now because I'm so, like, you know, I guess I'd say my cardio is pretty dang good. So it's really even hard for me to get that, to feel that feeling again. But I still remember it intensely because every day I walk up that hill, I'm always like, this is where it started, kind of. This is where, you know, you didn't even know you would get past this. You had to push yourself past this because you didn't want it. You'd be, all right, that's enough. But it's like, no, let's go a little bit farther. Let's do it a little bit farther.
And so, that growing belief in yourself that you could actually do it had to be helping.
Oh, yeah. That's it for sure. Once you start seeing results, and that's the thing about being so heavy is, I know it's harder for us sometimes to get started, but the results are so fast. Like, if you do it right and you start out, like, it should become addicting almost, because it's like, holy cow, like, you can lose easily 10 pounds in a week. And I mean, I guess I'm a pretty good, I've lose weight pretty quick, but I guess everybody can. I know they can, because I have a guy that I've been trying to help lose some weight here, and he lost like 20 pounds in like 2 weeks and stuff. I was like, yeah, man, it's like, it's it's pretty crazy. And once you see those results,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, oh my God, I can do this. I just got to keep going and doing a little bit more every day. And it's the same kind of thing with muscles, because I didn't think I could put on muscle until I was like, wait a second, there's some results. I'm starting to see a vein pop or something. Mm-hmm. Like, oh.
So let's talk about that. You said you started to get, you know, you started to actually get into weightlifting. Like, how did that progress for you?
It progressed, I would say, pretty good, honestly. I just started following guys on Twitter, you know, and I'm sure we all have, like, these the bro science and stuff we start following, and, you know, Derek more plates, more dates, and, was it Alexander Quartz on Twitter, mm-hmm. and, you know, Bowtie Ox and all these people on Twitter. I started seeing them talking about working out all the time and how good it is for your heart and how your testosterone and all this stuff. And I was like, wait a second, my testosterone was probably really low because, you know, I've been fat so much and that really is not good for your testosterone. So mm-hmm. then I started focusing on that and my hormones and then just working out. And I got addicted to it. I was like, at first I just like, I hate working out. I never liked it when I was young. Every time I went and lift weights, I was like, I don't like the way that makes my muscles feel. But then I just got addicted to it and just started working out and reading more and more about people's, what they do and all these different workouts. And I started making my own little workout and I don't know. Now, like I said, I'm just kind of like, it's part of my life now. It's just like, oh, the gym. I just think about it all the time, honestly.
No, understood. Which speaks to, you know, it does speak to that. You know, you're talking about having an addictive personality. Like, I think that there's some truth to that, you know, especially, you know, for many of us. And it, you know, there's probably, you know, there'll be that one person out there that's like, well, now you're addicted to the gym and that's just as bad. And it's like, well, now I'm, you know, if I'm addicted to something, there's a difference between being addicted to something that's helping make you healthier. And, you know, it happened, you know, working in a bad way, which has happened. You know, I've had guests on the show that deal with, you know, exercise bulimia and, you know, that side of the thing where, you know, exercise takes a darker turn because they start ignoring the rest of their life because of it, you know, and it starts being used as something that's, you know, compensating in ways that isn't positive. But when you can harness some of that, you know, that addictive personality that used to work against you for something good, there's benefits to it. You know, there's benefits to finding what, you know, that feeling from doing it and harnessing that to help you get healthier. Because let's be honest, like when you're over 500 pounds, you're over 600 pounds, any change that you make, you know, in a way that makes you feel better and helps you move more and get healthier is going to be good in the end. Like a person shouldn't starve themselves, like do, you know, kind of like wild things with their eating, or even like I said, burn themselves out physically. But starting to build those consistent habits that are working towards your health is a cornerstone of any person's weight loss journey, and specifically the journey of someone who has over 300 pounds to lose.
Oh yeah. And that's the thing about, you know, about weight loss. It's hard. You got to start. And I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought because you were talking and I was listening to you good. I had something I was going to say right there in the middle of what you were saying. And I was like, oh, I lost my train.
Well, if it comes back, share it. You know, jump in and share it. So as you're, you know, getting more physically active and finding that love for the gym, and like you were saying, the weight's coming off. Like, did the way you were eating continue to evolve? Like your approach to, you know, diving into learning all about, you know, building muscle and the, you know, the health benefits of it. You know, testosterone, hormones, that side of things. Were you approaching food differently and learning more about like the nutrition you were putting into your body? Like, what did that look like?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like when I first started, like I told you, I was starting to eat salads and stuff like that because, you know, salads are synonymous with health. So, you know, everybody eats salad is healthy. And then I started counting my calories because the more weight I did lose, then I wanted to actually start making sure I was staying in a deficit at all times.
Mm.
And then I started realizing that protein was such a good thing for not only muscles, but also weight loss, because, you know, it takes your body more energy to burn protein, digest it and everything. So I really started focusing on making sure I get my 200 grams of protein a day. And I really, of course, I know most people do. When you really get on that health kick, you really like, oh, no seed oils, and you know, stay away from all those kind of things that are processed and all that kind of stuff. And I really got into that too, where I was like, I ain't eating anything with seed oils, and I did that for a year or so. But you know, since then I've kind of laxed up a little bit, because it's like, you know, life is life, and it's okay to eat something that's fried or something like that every once in a while. Just don't make it a habit. But yeah, definitely changed my food up, and I eat a lot, but I just eat low calories and high protein.
Right, and that's, I mean, and that's one of the things, like, sometimes, you know, and I've talked about this on the show before, like, especially things like processed food, seed oils, that kind of thing, sometimes people get so fixated on that, that they're not moving the bigger rocks they need to move first. You know, it's worrying about dusting, you know, before you've moved the mountain that's in front of you. Like, it's turning the fine tuning dials instead of worrying about, you know, is my foot on the gas and am I using the brake properly? Like, you know, it's worrying about the radio when you should be worrying about how fast are you going in traffic. Like, there's bigger picture things, and you have to build something that also is sustainable and livable for you, that moves you towards your goals. And does that mean, and let's be honest, like, when a person starts focusing on getting enough protein, a lot of those other things fall out of their regular rotation in their diet, because you realize how much space they take up. Like, you know, one of the things that I saw someone talking about recently was the idea that if you want, you know, because there's so many foods now that are labeled as high protein, you look at it and it's like 6 grams of protein. It's like, okay, is that really a high protein food? And, you know, someone put it really simply, and they said, if it's a, you know, it's a high protein snack, take the number of protein grams in it, multiply that by 10, and if the calories are significantly higher than that, then that's not really a high protein food. It's probably a higher fat food or a higher carb food with some protein in it. But when you put your focus on, you know, whether it's on protein and you're cleaning up other things, you're getting yourself to a place that's better than where you were eating before. Like, those changes add up. And when you're consistent with it, you know, especially when we're consistent with protein intake, you know, and I'm in the keto space. So I talk to people about healthy fats and lower carbs all the time and things along those lines, you know, on my regular Instagram, not the focus of this podcast, but we're still talking about protein, because that is the one thing that, especially if someone wants to get stronger and wants to, you know, feel their body get healthier and find satiation in a lot of ways, like, getting enough protein in just becomes something that is really important nutritionally. And how you end up filling that all out, you know, then speaks to, like, do you need more volume? Like, you were talking about eating a lot of food, but eating higher protein and low calorie. That means you're looking at foods that are going to give you volume. Like, what do you need as a person individually when you're still getting in those macronutrients, the micronutrients, the things that your body needs, you know, to get healthier? Because, like you talked about, you know, just your first weight loss journey, you know, getting to that place where you didn't feel like you looked healthy, you know, your approach to food was different, you know, like, Can someone lose weight eating, you know, just, you know, I don't know, you know, throw something silly out there. Like, could you lose weight just eating cookies? You could,
yeah,
but you're not going to feel good, and you're probably not going to move that great, because unless it's one of those, like, very weird, chewy protein cookies that you can get at a health food store, you're probably not taking in a lot of protein. You're going to have energy, you know, you're taking in carbs, so you're probably going to have, you know, some great energy. But are you giving your body what it really needs from that place of not just, you know, the protein for muscle building, but all the different processes, you know, when your body breaks proteins down into amino acids and those things that it needs? Like, so cleaning up what you're eating can look like sometimes getting to an obsessive place, but it can also just be about hitting the things that your body needs and then fine-tuning that to work for you sustainably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You definitely have to find out what works for you and what you like. And that, like I said, what we were talking about with protein, I love eating. It's, and let's see. Sorry, someone was trying to call me. Can you hear me? Someone was trying to call me. I'm so sorry.
No worries. I can hear you. If you were starting to talk about food.
Okay. What was I saying?
You were saying when you put the focus on protein and finding what works best for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I started really focused on protein, then I started saying, all right, I want to get this lower calorie meat. Not lower calorie meat, but you know what I mean, the higher less fat. So it's like 93% or 96%. And I still love eating burgers and stuff like that. So I started buying like the keto bread because I was like, oh, 35 calories in a slice of bread compared to 70. All right, I can do that. And the 2% cheese, I can get half the calories with that. And I can still have a lot of food and get my protein in. Mm-hmm. So that's all I do now. It's like I'm just constantly chasing calories and protein. And mm-hmm. I probably should focus on my carbs a little bit more, but I'm a low carb guy, but I still eat decent amount of carbs, especially on like gym days, mm-hmm. the days I'm working out, because I'm trying to feed my muscles and so on and whatnot. When I first started out, I was really, really strict on my carbs. But since I've really been working out the last 2.5 years, especially the last year, I've been adding more and more carbs to it, trying to build muscle. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I love bread. So I love sandwiches. I can make a sandwich out of anything. So it's very hard for me to do it. But I know keto is really good for people. And I always recommend it to people who ask things, or try keto or try a carnivore diet, you know, because some things work different for the other people. And you got to find what works for you and what makes you happy and what can get you to where you're going.
Right, because if you don't like the food that you're eating, you can do it for a certain amount of time. Like,
yeah.
You know, and there are people, you know, I've communicated with people that have really been miserable with the food they were eating, you know, for a year or more, but then eventually they hit kind of a breaking point, or they just start to not care. Like, because it's really hard, you know, food should, and let's be 100% honest, you know, we talked about the link between eating and happiness. Like, when you are, you know, I'll speak just for my, you know, I'll own it for myself. Like, when I was over 500 pounds, food was my entertainment. Food was the party. Food, you know, it didn't really matter if I was going somewhere with people, you know, as long as I was eating what I wanted to eat, that was the happiness. That was the fun, you know? So if I go to a place where, you know, when we talk about saying that food can still be enjoyable, sometimes people say, well, you know, food shouldn't be fun. And it's like, well, there's a difference between using food as your source of fun and saying, you know, that was really enjoyable. That fueled my body well. And I want to do that again. You know, I'm comfortable doing that. Like you said, sandwiches. And let's also be 100% realistic. Even if you were to say, you know, I used to just eat burgers, you know, before, now I, you know, now I'm eating burgers. The way you're putting the burgers together, the carb difference, the fat difference, all of those things is significant, you know, compared to like, you know, just drive-through food. Like, it's completely different. And it's okay to still say, though, I like the way this looks and the way it turns out and the way it tastes. Like, your food doesn't have to be bland and feel like punishment in order for you to see success. You know, it should be something that you enjoy enough that you want to continue to do it. You want to continue to eat that way because of how it's making you feel, but also it doesn't feel like you're in this place. You know, when people talk about different ways of eating being restrictive, you know, I always say, like, if it feels like it's so restrictive that it's maddening to you, then it's probably not the way of eating for you. If it feels like restriction, because let's be honest, every caloric deficit in the world is restriction. Like, definition of the word, it is a restriction. But if you can make that restriction work for you and feel livable, more power to you. Like, that's what you want to be doing. And that's also why you don't always have to do exactly what the person you're inspired by does. You know, that person that I want the results that they got, but the way they did it isn't something that feels workable and livable for me. Like, I have those discussions all the time with people who are like, I really want to do keto because I want to lose X number of pounds really fast. And I'm like, have you thought about what it would be like, though, to approach, you know, your diet from that place? Like, what is living like that actually going to be like for you? Like, it shouldn't just be about a 30-day change that I'm going to then go back to the way I was eating before.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. People got to figure out what works for them. And you don't, people don't have to eat like me, because I eat a lot of the same things, but I eat like burgers and eggs and potatoes and beans, you know, some rice and chicken and stuff like that. But you don't have to do what I do. Like you said, you don't have to do what you do. It's just, let us inspire you to just take your own life and take your own thing, and you'll figure it out, because everybody has things different. I'm not a big, super big yogurt fan. I try to get on that bandwagon. Mm-hmm. I do every once in a while, but I can't do it like every day type of thing like a lot of people can. A lot of guys who inspire me, they do it. But I was like, I ain't doing that. So I just found my own thing.
Nice. And so, obviously, let's talk about one of the things that people out there listening, I'm sure, are interested in, is like how your weight loss progressed, has progressed.
Okay. So as it progressed, like I'm down to about two, I think I'm a little heavier right now because I've been eating and kind of a surplus and trying to kind of semi-bulk. I'm like 236, 235 right now. My lowest I got last year was 224. But I've also added more muscle since last year, and I've gone down to pant size, so that's a good thing. Yeah, so I'm doing really good. I'm really lean. I went and met a surgeon in California last June. His name's Dr. Aga. He's in Newport Beach, California, and he did a consultation for me. So I'm planning on having surgery sometime this fall or winter. And it's going to be multiple surgeries that we'll have to do to get the excess skin removed because I have a ton of excess skin.
No doubt.
And yeah. And so I definitely want to get that done. I'm kind of scared about getting the surgery, but I've never been able to go to the beach and take my shirt off, never go to a pool party and take my shirt off or anything like that. And that's just, I really want that. I still feel trapped in my skin at this point, even though I have all the muscle and, you know, and I feel like I look good. I still have that body dysmorphia, and I still feel trapped. Like, I still can't do everything I want to do because of the skin. So,
well, let's talk about that for a second. Like, because I think then the question that comes up, because I'm sure you've seen this too, and people you've talked to, like, I, you know, the number of times, because I always thought this was just something people made up and that no one would actually say this, but the number of people that I've spoken to that said, I want to lose weight, but I don't want the loose skin, so I'm not going to lose weight. Like, are you, what's your perspective on, you know, understanding the challenges you have with loose skin now? You know, are they still, are those challenges worth the changes you've made in your life?
Oh, yeah. Like, I've had people, I didn't think that was such a big thing either, but I've seen people say that, comment on my things and send me messages about it as well. And I was really like, wow, that's kind of confusing. But I mean, I guess it makes sense now, but I feel so much better now than I ever have back then. Like to be where I am now, like the confidence I have, the happiness I have, the energy I have, you know, the success I have, like you just get more successful in life too when you lose weight and you work out and stuff like that. It really, people start respecting you more. It's kind of crazy and sad at the same time, but it's the truth. Like, people will respect you. You dress well, you're thin, you got some muscles and stuff like that. People are going to respect you more and your life will get better. So I definitely wouldn't trade it for anything. Like, if I had to keep this skin the rest of my life, I'd be okay with it. Way more than being 600 pound cold that could barely go to the top of the steps without having a heart attack.
Well, I was going to say, like, what are the significant changes, you know, coal today versus coal at 600 pounds? Like, what are the biggest things that stand out to you as changes in your life?
Well, obviously energy and being able just to walk and go everywhere. As simple as whenever I go to any grocery store or any place, period, I always park at the back of the parking lot and walk because I just like to walk. I love to walk everywhere now. Like, walking was such a big part of my weight loss. And, you know, I have to do 10,000 steps every day. I know a lot of people rag on that and say, oh, it ain't that big a deal. But it helped change my life. It helped me get to where I am. So I was like 14,000, I think, the last year. And walking is just, what else have changed in my life? Let's see. Well, obviously with women, because, you know, when I was 600 pounds, you're not going to be able to talk to a bunch of girls. Not a bunch of girls are going to look at your way. But now you go out in public, I just walk anywhere and I'll definitely get all these, a lot more looks and glances and, you know, and I get more dates and stuff like that. And like I said, successfully, like, I've moved up. I was like, when I hit rock bottom, I didn't even have a job. Like, I had taken a leave of absence. And it was because it was right there during COVID and all that stuff. Mm. Yeah, so I had taken that, and then I decided, all right, this is be your chance to complete, start losing your weight and everything. And I came back home, and then I started a job. Then I moved up, got a job making a little bit more money. Then I got another job making a little bit more money. Then in that same job, I've moved up to a different position making more money. So it's like I've slowly just gotten more successful as well. And it's just like, life is so much more better, and I can breathe, and I can run. It's hard to run because of my skin. It all kind of flaps and slaps, but besides that, I can run, and just, I can fit in vehicles. I got to fly last year, first time I've never been able to fly, because I couldn't get on the plane. And going to a restaurant, something as simple as that, I still sometimes in the back of my head think, oh, well, I fit in that booth. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, of course you're going to fit in the booth. You know, but, you know, back when you were big, you'd have to think about that kind of stuff when you were anywhere. Mm-hmm. If I went to anybody's house, I would think, would their furniture hold me?
No, understood.
Yeah.
Which, and that speaks to, like, because I think it's the ugly side of it to talk about, you know, how people treat you differently. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to bring that up, or, you know, because they're like, well, people should treat everyone, you know, yes, the ideal world, everyone would treat everyone the way, you know, they deserve to be treated as human beings. But on the flip side of that, you know, just the reality is that people have perceptions and make judgments, and they judge us for, you know, even when you lose weight, people can judge you for other reasons. Like, it's not saying that everything becomes amazing, but at the same time, what you're speaking about is like that correlative effect of the fact that you started working, you know, working on your weight and your health, you know, came with building habits of consistency and, you know, building your confidence. And, you know, that confidence growing in the gym starts to reflect in other areas of your life. You know, that confidence just in terms of how you carry yourself and dealing with those things. Like, there are effects in ripples that we don't always, it's not just about the scale number changing. Like, it can be about how we perceive ourselves and how we put ourselves out into the world and what we're willing to do and the risks we're willing to take. And all of those things can be positive cumulative effects from this situation, you know, like you said, that felt like rock bottom before. Like, digging yourself out of that place and being the agent of change that you needed, you know, yes, did you have you had a gym angel moment, which, you know, was fantastic, but in the end, it was you that ended up having to do all this work, you know, over the past couple years and make that change. So owning that, it's not about being overconfident or, you know, having this bravado now. It's about understanding, like, you did this, and you can gain confidence from that and allow that to apply into other areas of your life. You know, so I think that's a positive thing to hear, man.
Oh yeah, for sure. And life gets exceptionally better after you start losing weight, and it just keeps getting better. That's the thing about it. That's why I try to tell people, and it's like, it's so worth it. You don't understand. It's like you said, it's not just about the scales, the weight and your clothes. It's like just everything. Mm-hmm. Just, it gets better. But clothes to clothes, too, because, like, the fact that I can walk into any department store or whatever and buy clothes, that kind of blows my mind, too, still sometimes. Like, I'll be in some place, and I'll be like, oh, I like that shirt. And then in the back of my head, I still think, oh, they have my size. And I'm like, of course they got my size, probably. Unless they don't have a 1X, but...
Well, let's be realistic. There are even as much as in this day and age, people are like, you know, there's big clothing everywhere. Like, you're wearing an 8XL shirt, and having been someone that wore an 8XL shirt, you can't find them in almost any places. Like, you can't walk into a store and find that. And then when you can find somewhere that's selling it, your options are not, you know, it's not like, okay, here's these 40 different, you know, variations on that 8XL that I'm going to find. You know, often it can be, here's a polo, here's a button down, you know, here's a shirt with something funny on it, you know, a t-shirt with something funny on it, and those are your options. Like, having those limits taken away, and I think that's one of the things, you know, I talk about a lot on this show, like, with guests, is, like, you were getting into, like, that whole idea of being able to walk, being able to go into any space and fit into that space, being able to go into a store. Like, the amount of mental weight that you have to carry when you're that large, you know, is significant. Like, so being able to let go of a lot of that is just a huge change on the inside that a lot of people, I don't think, really talk about.
Yeah, they definitely don't talk about it. You don't really, I don't know why, I guess we don't really talk about it as much because we're thinking all just like the looks, the surface, how you feel and everything. But yeah, it's like, there's so much stuff internally. Being able to go to the fair or to like Disney World or Carowinds, Six Flags, whatever, and being able to get on every ride, that's something that's crazy to me too. It's like, oh, I can do all that. Mm-hmm. Now I can jump out of a plane. I always wanted to jump out of a plane, but I've never done it. And I think you have to be like below 240, 250 to do it, the tandem jump. So I plan on doing that at some point. But yeah, it's just everything gets better, and you like you said about the clothes, those 8X shirts, those things were expensive, man.
Mm-hmm.
And those jeans that you have to get, those jeans and giant pants, and those were expensive. So mm-hmm. save yourself a lot of money too. You go to TJ Maxx and get you some $12 shirts and look right. great. It's like, dang, it's crazy. But that's where I'm at in life right now. Like I said, the surgeries are going to be very scary to have. I was sitting here thinking about that, but I'm going to do it, and it's all going to work out. I've made it this far. It's just being down is what's going to suck. Mm-hmm. Because I had hernia surgery in July, and that went like 6 to 8 weeks without being able to go to the gym and lift heavy. I went to the gym, but I just did like muscle memory stuff. And that was really, like, really, really hard because mentally I just wanted to lift weights, but I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when it's become such a big part of your life, like, that is something to think about. Like, knowing that you're going to be kind of down for the count when it comes to, like, being able to do that kind of work in the gym, you know, being able to handle that is a whole nother challenge. Like, it's a whole nother layer to it. Like, I had a guest on recently. If it's an episode you haven't listened to, it might be a good one. His name's Matt True, and we really went into his plastics journey, because he's probably had 14 or so different surgeries over the past couple of years. And
oh, wow.
You know, yeah. So, but he's someone that gets in the gym a lot, you know, and so we talked about like what it's like when you're in that place of recovery and, you know, just what he's been through, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He was brutally honest about everything that he's dealing with and has dealt with and gone through that, because it's a traumatic surgery. Like, that's just the reality of it. That's not to scare anyone away from it. You know, like, it's just going in knowing what it's going to look like, what that recovery is going to look like. You know, those are questions that people don't ask sometimes. Like, and they also think sometimes that skin surgery is you go in, they cut it off, they sew you up, the wound, you know, your incisions close, and then everything is 100% right back to where it was the day before you stepped into the surgery. And it's like, there's a lot you have to think about and take into account, you know? So in a lot of ways, like, it's good the time you're taking. Like, it's a journey, but it's also, you know, it is something to give to yourself, you know, knowing what you've come through and the changes that you've made. So I'm, you know, as trepidatious as you might feel at times about it, you know, I'm excited for you to go through that and see where you can come out of it and understand, you know, and to anyone else, you know, I'm sure there's someone sitting out there saying, you know, it shouldn't take losing weight and removing skin to, you know, help a person with their confidence. You know, it's just, it's the reality of living in the body that you're in and, you know, taking care of it. And like you said, also, you know, running will be a lot easier, you know, different physical activities. And some of those physical activities that a lot of people don't want to talk about openly on a podcast like this, you know, we started talking about the opposite sex, the bedroom changes, you know, with skin removal, like in some ways that can be really positive, So there's, you know, now I feel like I'm a prude talking about it, calling it the bedroom, but like, you know, the bedroom, but people know what I'm talking about. But the reality is, it's at different steps. And like, it's also good that it's something that you're looking at, you know, while you've built everything that you've built in terms of the work that you've done and the habits that you've built and the perspectives that you built. So I'm excited for you for that, man. Like, it's a big next step, but it's one that will just continue to carry you forward on this journey that you've been on.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I might have to listen to that podcast for sure, because I'm very interested in all anybody that's had surgeries and stuff, because I know it's crazy. I've watched some stuff on it, and it's a hard recovery and everything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I said, it's just going to take my confidence even up to another level, mm-hmm. which I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but I'm here for it. Like, so we'll see what happens. But between now and then, I'm just going to keep trying to add as much muscle as possible, because maybe after I get all this skin surgery and everything done and get back healthy and back in the gym, and maybe I might do like a bodybuilding show, at mm-hmm. least one, just to be like cap off my journey. Like, as in, hey, this guy went from here to this,
mm-hmm.
you know, hey, anybody can do anything.
For sure, man. And hey, you never know what's going to happen.
That's true. That is very, very, very true.
And the exciting thing about it is, regardless of what, you know, is going to happen or is to come, you know, you're stepping into that part of your life from a place of being healthier, you know, and more active. And like you said, happier and more confident in all the things that have come along with this journey that you've been on.
Oh yeah, for sure. And just one more thing we were talking about with the skin and like the women in the bedroom type of thing is like, you know, they don't even care about it as much as probably I do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just something for me,
yeah,
personally. But a lot of people don't even notice that I had the skin. Sometimes they'll be like, "Oh, I thought you had the surgery already." I was like, "No." First of all, I'd have been gone for months, but. Mm-hmm. Then I'm like, yeah, but that's, I hide it well under my clothes, so you don't even get noticed about it as much, but it still has that little bit of confidence because you can't wear certain tight shirts. I don't like to wear them because it shows all my skin hanging and all that kind of stuff. I look like I'm melting.
Well, and that's, and that's what it's about, isn't it? Like, there are a lot of things, even when when you are significantly overweight, that are bigger in our heads than they are in the heads of anyone else. Like,
yeah.
You know, so it's, but getting your head in line with that, you know, getting yourself in line with that, you know, is all a part of the work and all a part of the journey and being able to get yourself to that place where you, because someone can tell you to be more confident and tell you all those things, but until you truly feel that yourself, you know, it's not just a switch you can flip. So I think that completely makes sense, man. So cool. Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed our conversation about your journey today. Is there anything in, you know, that you've been through or, you know, on this journey that we haven't had a chance to talk about that you wanted to make sure we talk about today?
Oh man, probably there's like a bunch of stuff to say, but let's see. Focus. When I first started, something I like to tell people too is to focus on things, only things you can control.
Mm-hmm.
Like don't worry about things that you have no control over, because that stuff will suck your attention and your time, and it's really not worth it. Like, I used to watch sports and stuff all the time, and I know that might ruffle some feathers, but I used to watch sports like constantly though. All the weekends during football season, I was watching all these games, and I'd get so upset about my team losing and stuff like that. And I was like, wait a second, I have no control over this. Why am I putting so much energy and my time into this stuff that I have no control over, that has no bearing on my life? And same thing with like video games, unless you're like a streamer making a bunch of money, which is cool. But, you know, playing video games and stuff like that, it's like, that's really just a waste of your time and you don't get anything out of it. So I had to start cutting things like that out of my life, and politics and stuff like that, as much as like, yeah, you can change my vote and so on and whatnot. But a lot of that stuff, I got no control over it. Why should I care about that? Like, I've cared about just my future, things that will make me better. So that's what I want people to do, is just to focus on themselves and focus on themselves becoming better people, whether it be a man or a woman, you know, just get better every day. That's my goal every day, is get a little tiny teeny bit better.
I love that, man. And I think that's a great place for us to wrap up this part of the show. Like, I think that was a fantastic, you know, it's a fantastic thing for us always to talk about, like, that idea of understanding that there are going to be things that aren't in your control, and we spend so much time in our lives putting energy towards them that we realize eventually that it was wasted energy. You know, focusing on those things that you can take control of is just so much more important.
Oh yeah.
So cool. I end every episode with five questions I call the Fat Guy Five. Are you ready for your run through those questions?
Oh boy, yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, so here we go, man. Question number one. Living or dead, Cole, who is your favorite fat guy?
Ooh, living or dead, my favorite fat guy. Wow, that is tough. I mean, I guess I'm going to say John Candy, just because that's the first one that popped in my head that I was like, okay, I like John Candy.
There you go, and that's what these questions are for. The first answer that pops into your head is the one, you know, that usually is the truth. So I like it. Question number two, man. What is something about yourself that you love?
Oh boy, that's a tough question. What's something I love? I guess I would say my sense of humor. I find myself to be very funny, and that's probably not funny to everybody else as much, because I know I get on a lot of people's nerves with my jokes and stuff and whatnot when I pick with people. But my humor, it makes me laugh. I love it.
I like it, man. I like that a lot. Question number three. Looking at this journey that you've been on, man, what do you think is the most important new habit that you've built?
I would say, food and stuff would be probably right there with it, but walking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just moving. that's the first habit I think that everybody has to have. It's just start moving, start going. We were meant to walk as humans.
I like it. Question number four, man. What is one goal you have for the next year that is not health, fitness, or weight loss related?
Okay. Well, Dang. I would save my weight loss coaching thing, but that's a business, but that's still weight loss. So I ain't worried about, let's not say that. Let's say something I'm looking forward to. Is that what the question was?
Sure. A goal you have for the next year.
A goal. Okay. A goal. I need to get more organized. I have to get more organized. And like, especially with my time, like I have my eating and my working out and all that kind of stuff good, but I really need to get more organized outside of that with my side business stuff I want to do and cleaning my place and making my bed and stuff every morning and just that kind of thing. And I really need to get organized on that side of my life.
I like it, man. I think it's something everyone could benefit from. Question number five, last official question. I do have one more question for you after this, though. But last official question of the podcast. If you could go back and talk to 600-pound Cole, what do you feel is a message that he needed to hear?
You can do it. Like, you're not what you think you are. You can be more.
I like it, man. So, Cole, the last question for this part of the show, you know, for the show, how, if people do want to follow along with your journey, not just what you've done and what you're doing right now, but to see what comes for you in the future, man, where do they find you?
Oh, boy, I should have wrote all these things down, but it's on Twitter. I'm on Twitter, Instagram. I have a Facebook page. I have a TikTok page. I have a YouTube page, but my YouTube page, I really don't make much videos for yet, but that's part of the organized part of my life, like managing that, because I really need to start making way more videos and everything like that. But I would say Twitter, it's at 321 Fitness Pro, and the pro is for my last name, Prohaska, so it's not like sometimes some kind of pro or anything. And then 321 Fitness on Instagram, and then my name, Cole Prohaska, on Facebook, and same thing with TikTok. It's 321 Fitness or Coltrane 77. So I think that's about all of them right there.
Well, I will put those links in the show note of the episode today, man. Just a big thank you for being willing to come on, take some time on your Sunday, and talk to the audience. I really appreciate it.
Hey, I really appreciate you, and I hope everybody has a wonderful week and a wonderful year, and, you know, I hope someone gets inspired by this, and that's all that matters.
There we go, man. There we go. So Cole's information will be in the show notes, and if you are a Patreon, don't forget, Cole and I are going to finish this discussion up and head on over to the Patreon after show just to decompress and see what he thinks about how it went and see if there's anything else we want to talk about. So sign up for the Patreon. Link is in the show notes as well if you want to catch all of the after show episodes. You can also, in the show notes, find my Instagram. I'm at GourmetGoesKeto. I'm also on Twitter at GourmetGoesKeto. You can email the show at thefatguyforum@gmail.com. My friends, after you connect with Cole today, remember, go out there, do something today to amaze yourselves, because you're the most amazing people I know. Then catch us here on the next episode of the Fat Guy Forum.